What is up, guys? We are Fantasy Football Insight. This is our very first podcast. How are you guys doing today?
Woo!
All right. So we wanted to start off by talking about how many we plan on doing per day here.
By the way, I'm Admin CP, or I'm Admin Fogle.
And I'm Admin CPB.
All right, how you guys doing?
Chris Brent, Braden Fogle here. So first, we want to start off talking with like how many podcasts we plan on doing, because you guys are we're pretty eager for these. So we plan on trying to get like one out a week for starters here on Fridays. Hopefully by Saturdays you guys get them for sure. So that's what we plan on doing. We don't know how many off-season podcasts we're going to have because there's just not that much news going on in the off-season. We'll try to do as much as we can here. But what we're trying to do here, we're trying to get you guys more involved, trying to get us to do more. Love, hate, stardom, sit-ems, all that. We're going to get all that put all together here in this podcast. So, but first, of course, we're in week 16, our fantasy championship game. So let's have our 2013 wrap up before we get started here. And we're going to have our surprises here. So I want to start talking about quarterbacks. And we'll start with Nick Foles. Nick Foles is an interesting guy. He came out of nowhere. A lot of people started using him once Rodgers went down. Nick Foles has 2,398 yards this season with 23 touchdowns and 2 interceptions. Fogle, where do you believe that Nick Foles should go next season?
I don't see him going anywhere earlier than the sixth round. If you take him earlier, I see you're pushing a little bit. Just because, like, even if Vic comes back next year for Philly, there still might be somewhat of a competition. But, I mean, I think Nick Foles has gotten the starting job this year. He hasn't really fit in with Chip Kelly's offensive system the way he wants to, but I mean, he's been really performing this really well this year. He hasn't been turning over the ball like Eli Manning has. He's actually been a really good pickup for those of you who have been dealing with quarterback woes this year.
The next guy I want to talk about, Josh McCown. He was a plug-in right after Rodgers got hurt as he started in that game that a lot of people really came about, like, well, maybe Josh McCown's the real deal. He has 1,800 yards, 13 touchdowns, and 1 interception this year. Where do you think Josh McCown's going to end up here next year?
I don't know. I don't think Josh McCown's going to be starting in Chicago next year like I wish he would over Cutler. He might be able to try out for a few teams next year and possibly get a starting job. I mean, it kind of depends on what teams are going to do with the free agency and the draft situation, as it's a pretty good draft coming out for quarterbacks with teams such as the Vikings, Titans, Jaguars, etc. Just looking for quarterbacks.
I would agree with that. So we'll move on to the next guy. We got Phillip Rivers here, who had 4,048 passing yards, 28 touchdowns and 9 interceptions. He was a big surprise. He had 4 touchdowns in week 1, and everybody started freaking out like they didn't know what to do with with Phillip Rivers, and even us fantasy analysts were just like, yeah, who cares, just one game. But then he actually stuck around here. So where would you think that Phillip Rivers is going to end up within the quarterback ranks next year?
I think he might gain a couple spots, but I mean, I think he's still going to – I mean, he might go up a couple, but I mean, he's probably going to stick where he was this year when it comes to ranks. Like, I would actually probably take him over – Tony Romo next year.
I kind of agree with that. Tony Romo's been really struggling as of late, and that could be an interesting option there. The other surprise was definitely Russell Wilson, who had 3,077 yards, 24 touchdowns, and 8 interceptions this season. He was actually a guy that a lot of people had out of his top 13, and me and Fogle, I know for sure, were definitely higher on Russell Wilson than most people were going into the season. I couldn't see taking him below top 8. Actually, in a draft, I really wanted Russell Wilson really, really bad, and in round 12, I didn't get him. So, Fuller's got a few running backs he wants to talk to us about, so what do you got?
I'm going to start off with Knowshon Moreno. Nobody really knew what to expect out of the crowded backfield in Denver, but, I mean, most people were expecting Monte Ball to be the rookie sensation and get all those carries and fantasy points, which is not how that turned out to be. I mean, yeah, he's gotten fantasy points this year, but that's been in garbage time. But really, it's been the Knowshon Moreno show ever since LeSean McCoy called him out on Twitter telling him he sucks. He's been actually balling lately. So far this year, he's got 224 carries for 939 yards and 10 rushing touchdowns, along with 53 receptions for 481 yards and 2 reception touchdowns. I've seen some mock drafts for next year showing he's going to go in the first round. I personally think that's a little too early for him. But I mean, I can see your point. The dude's been pretty consistent up until last week. And, I mean, he's been putting up fantasy points a lot. When you can't go wrong since his quarterback's Peyton Manning. After him, I'm going to go with Zach Stacy. I thought he would be this year's Alfred Morris. And, it didn't really seem that way at the beginning of the season with Daryl Richardson. And for those of you who thought Isaiah Pede would do something, Zach Stacy's came in and put up 202 carries for 854 yards along with 6 rushing touchdowns. He's a workhorse. I mean, he gets those yards, and I mean, Jeff Fisher might have found his running back for the future. We just don't know how that's going to turn out. Hopefully, he's still there next year. And just another surprise, you know, all the rookie running backs this year, along with Zach Stacy. Eddie Lacy, not too many people knew what to expect out of him, considering the Packers also drafted Jonathan Franklin in last year's draft. They also had James Starks back there. It's kind of a crowded backfield, but Lacy definitely had talent. My Marshawn Lynch 2.0, if you ask me. Along with Giovanni Bernard, not too many people knew what to expect out of him with Ben Jarvis Green Ellis, the law firm back there. But he's been really rushing the ball well. He's very electric. And surprisingly, last week against the Steelers, he actually got goal line carries, which is a very bright thing to see out of him. Along with Le'Veon Bell, not too many people knew what to expect out of him with the foot injury, but he's came in and been a very consistent player. You know how Pittsburgh likes to run the ball, and I mean, he could definitely, they see him being the running back there for the next 9-10 years.
Yeah, he's definitely a second rounder for me next year.
Exactly. Eddie Lacy, some people are saying he's going to go first round. You know, I don't have a problem with Eddie Lacy because, I mean, you still have Aaron Rodgers at the helm. Just as long as Lacy can stay healthy. Bernard and Bell, I see them being more second, third, fourth round picks, if you ask me. And just a shout out to Matt Forte for having a healthy season. I mean, as a Bears fan, I never thought I'd see that. I mean, you guys have many championships. Hopefully, I didn't ruin anything for you. But Admin Brent's got some surprise receivers for the year.
I got Alshon Jeffrey was a surprise for most people. I really liked him coming out of South Carolina. He has pretty good hands. He's a physical wide receiver. He has 80 catches for 1,265 yards with 7 touchdowns this season. Big surprise out of Alshon Jeffrey. A lot of people didn't see him coming on. Last year, he broke his hand, and we didn't get to see much of the Alshon Jeffrey we wanted to see. So he was definitely a huge surprise. Josh Gordon was also a huge surprise. He has 74 catches with he actually leads the NFL in receiving with 1,467 yards and 9 touchdowns this season. And the big thing about Josh Gordon was he missed his very first 2 games due to substance abuse policy. And a lot of people aren't going to realize this about Josh Gordon, but next problem that he has with drug abuse, he's actually going to be suspended for the entire year, which is why he is going to fall into the second round for me, because I don't think you can trust him. First round pick that has a possibility of just getting a drug problem and getting kicked out of the league.
For sure, Justin Blackman.
Yeah. But Josh Gordon had a four-game span that one could not believe. It was the best ever in NFL history. 36 catches for 774 yards. Sorry, my bad. In 5 touchdowns. That's the best 4-game span, like I said before, over anybody in NFL history. And then Keenan Allen's my last guy. 63 catches for 931 yards with 7 touchdowns. A lot of people did not expect that Keenan Allen was going to have the kind of impact he did as a rookie like we thought he did. And, I'm really surprised by what I've seen out of Keenan
Allen. Rookie offensive player of the year candidate.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
And Fuller's going to talk to you guys about some tight ends that were surprises.
All right, no pun intended, but you know how much I like tight ends. One of my sleepers, actually, of the year, I called Jordan, like, Admin Brent and I have been calling Jordan Cameron since the beginning of the season, and he actually panned out. He's had some rough weeks, though, but when it comes to Jordan Cameron and Josh Gordon, you guys got to realize that they played with 3 different quarterbacks this year, and the amount of productivity that they put out is actually pretty insane. I mean, Jordan Cameron still has 75 catches for 848 yards and 7 touchdowns. And, I mean, he's been kind of down lately. But he's just a big, big body, goal line tight end who, I mean, he's been really, really good this year. Along with Julius Thomas. I heard Julius Thomas's name previous years, but he just could never stay healthy. And, I mean, I still had, like, the kind of hopes for Jacob Tammy. I mean, you gotta love both of these guys because they're former basketball stars. And I mean, Julius Thomas, week 1, just surprising the world with 2 receiving touchdowns. Like, I was watching that game, and I'm like, good lord, who is this guy? And I mean, actually, I'll give a shout out. One of my friends actually started in week one, which is a pretty good start. But Julius Thomas this year, 54 receptions for 674 receiving yards. And the thing that just sticks him out from everyone else, 11 receiving touchdowns. Like, Peyton Manning loves his receivers, and he loves Julius Thomas, which gives us a lot of hope for next year. And Charles Clay, I mean, this guy can really do it all. He shows up at running back, fullback, tight end. He has 61 receptions for 684 yards along with 6 receiving touchdowns. He's been able to step in for those of you with Rob Gronkowski. Sorry, by the way. He's been a really consistent performer this year. And, I mean, I think his breakout of the game was definitely against Pittsburgh a couple weeks ago. Those are our surprises of 2013, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, that's it.
And we're actually going to move on to our disappointments of 2013 as
Sad face.
Yeah, sad face. As admin CPB, we'll go over our quarterback disappointments.
Aaron Rodgers, big disappointment this year. He's missed 7 games now with a broken collarbone. A lot of people were counting on Aaron Rodgers to carry them into their fantasy playoffs, fantasy championship games, drafted him in round one, were so excited when they got him in round one, or some people even went in round three for Aaron Rodgers, was like, wow, I cannot believe I stole Aaron Rodgers in the third round, and he just didn't pan out, did not work. Got hurt, and a lot of people had to rely on Nick Foles, Josh McCown. Tom Brady, because of the supporting cast around him, was not very good. Kembrell Tompkins. Aaron Dropson. Heck, he didn't have Rob Gronkowski for the first 6 weeks of the season. Everybody thought Zach Sudfeld was the answer. It was actually Michael
Humanuanawi.
And Sudfeld definitely wasn't the answer. They cut him. And, I mean, even Humanuanawi wasn't even the answer. So what they did was basically, I mean, I don't even know how it was possible. But Tom Brady was still winning games. Wasn't that much of a good fantasy quarterback. But the other disappointment, RG3, a lot of people out there still believe that, not me, but a lot of people thought RG3 would return to form and be the number one fantasy quarterback just like he was last season. Unfortunately, just didn't happen. So those are the disappointing quarterbacks this season, and let's move on to some disappointing running backs.
I'm going to start off with Ray Rice. I don't know what else to say about this guy. I mean, he's just been, along with a lot of other running backs this year, he just hasn't been doing well in that Baltimore running game. Ever since Baltimore got rid of Anquan Boldin and they lost Dennis Pitta, I just felt like a lot of pressure was going to be put on Ray Rice, and I mean, it's showing this year. He hasn't been receiving the ball well. He's been lucky to get past his own line of scrimmage, and I mean, people who took him within the first 5 picks, you've had a pretty rough year, haven't you? Mm-hmm. And I'm sorry to hear that. And along with CJ Spiller, that's one of those dudes who just has to get out in space, and he just really hasn't been able to get out in space this year. I mean, he's been dealing with injuries as well this year. And, I mean, Fred Jackson's just been purely outperforming him, which, I mean, is why he's getting the carries ahead of CJ Spiller.
With age, I actually think that CJ Spiller is going, I mean, that Fred Jackson is going to get probably moved out of Buffalo next year. I don't know if you agree with that, but
yeah. Don't give up on Spiller. He could still end up having he could have some amazing fantasy season, I'm not going to lie, within the next couple of years. Trent Richardson, sophomore slump candidate of the year. He just completely fell off the face of the earth this year. Let's be perfectly honest. I took him in the second round. I'm like, oh my gosh, this is going to be fantasy championship. No, I was completely wrong. Everyone who thought when he moved to Indy, it was just going to be amazing, and he's been the biggest downfall, as I was shown this year that Donald Brown can actually outperform a running back, which is absolutely ridiculous. And, I mean, you can throw Doug Martin. I would absolutely throw Doug Martin in your disappointment of the year. He was going number one, number two, top 5 picks this year in some leagues. And he just couldn't really do much this year. I personally think it's Greg Schiano. I don't really like him as a head coach. But, I mean, through his first 6 games after going out with an injury week 6, he had 127 carries, 456 yards, along with 1 touchdown. I'm definitely not giving up on him. It was a shoulder injury, which I think he's going to have a bounce back year next year.
Yeah, the touches were definitely there, 21 a game.
Absolutely.
And yeah, he was still involved in the receiving game too, and I really think he's also going to have a bounce back year. I think he's still a first-round pick next year.
And we're going to go on to some disappointing receivers this year with Admin Brent.
Giants wide receivers, absolutely all of them minus Ruben Randle, I guess, was a disappointment. Ruben Randle was kind of a surprise for us. We had Victor Cruz, who was taken within, like, the first three rounds of the draft, and or four, if you really want. But Victor Cruz, I mean, we haven't seen much salsa dancing out of you. Where have you been, Victor Cruz? Hakeem Hicks is slow. He's been hurt. He can't get off his routes. He can't block. He can't catch touchdowns,
which is what you expect out of a
wide receiver. Yeah, zero touchdowns on Hakeem Hicks this year. Zero touchdowns. Who would have thought that Hakeem Nicks would have had zero touchdowns this season? Absolutely nobody. Huge disappointment. Danny Amendola, another disappointing season. Kind of a lot of people were picking him in the first five rounds, especially in their PPR leagues. He was gone in round three. Everybody's like, oh, no, this is Tom Brady's main guy. It's actually been Julian Edelman this season. So
Amendola is not the next Wes Welker.
Yeah, that was not what we were looking forward to. And so let's go ahead and move on to our disappointing tight ends this season.
I mean, not too many disappointing tight ends. Like, there's a few, but, I mean, a few of you were lucky enough to pick up Jordan Cameron or Brandon Myers or even Charles Clay in some leagues. I had a lot of hopes for Brandon Myers this year. I don't know about you guys, but he had a pretty solid year last year in Oakland, which Admin Brent was just living off of last year and loving that. He went to New York, which I actually thought him and Eli would connect, which they didn't at all. And I actually see no fantasy value for Brandon Myers within his future. And, I mean, Rob Gronkowski, a lot of people took him in their drafts and just they hoped that he would come back, which he did. He came back, he had a good span while he was healthy. But then, what do you know, he tears his ACL, which is it's one of the sad things that we are now going to have to go through when it comes to NFL football because of not being able to go above the shoulders. You're going to see a lot more lower body injuries. And unfortunately, Gronk was one of the recipients of that. So actually, we're now done with our disappointments of 2013, and we're going to move on into our sleepers of 2014.
We're going to start with the quarterbacks, and looks like Kirk Cousins is the first quarterback. I like Kirk Cousins a lot. I think that a team is, like, why would the New York Jets not throw a second-round pick at Washington for Kirk Cousins? Heck, even if Washington wants a first round, you might as well go get it. You're a quarterback away. So I think that Kirk Cousins is a guy that you could really look forward to in the future and the next season. The problem is, let's say he goes to the Jets, there's no weapons on the Jets. They absolutely have nobody. So that's going to be a real struggle there. Matt Ryan is another guy that a lot of people are going to be sleeping on. Yes, he's losing Tony Gonzalez, but he's getting Julio Jones back and maybe a healthy Roddy White, hopefully. And Tololo, the wide receiver, Levine Tololo, he's young, he's pretty athletic, and he's seen some good stuff there. So, and he starts Steven Jackson in the backfield next season. So Matt Ryan's a guy that you're going to be able to get late in draft next year that I really like. And then, as a deep sleeper kind of next year, he's not really a sleeper. Everybody kind of thought he was this year. But EJ Manuel, like, you're just going to have to take him as a flyer. He hasn't been healthy this year. He hasn't gotten the reps he needs. This will be the second season. I really like what I saw from him kind of in the preseason, but he has not been the same guy. So we're going to move on to some sleeper running backs next season.
I mean, we're going to go with Ben Tate. He obviously doesn't like being the backup to Arian Foster, which, I mean, I can agree. The guy's got plenty of talent, and he deserves a new home, which is exactly what he'll be getting next year. I mean, Admin, Brent and I think he could possibly end up in Cleveland, which, I mean, he would then have the bulk of carries there, and he could be a very big surprise next year. Toby Gerhart, another guy who's not happy backing up the starting running back in this, with this being Adrian Peterson, he could definitely get a starting job next year. And it just kind of depends on where these two end up finding a home at. And then we'll just go based off of fantasy value once we find out that. And a deep sleeper for me actually next year is Marcus Lattimore. Frank Gore is another solid season. He's very consistent, but he's getting up there in age, and it's only a matter of time until the 49ers move on from him. I personally don't think Kendall Hunter's the starting running back for that team. Marcus Lattimore, who is actually compared to the next Adrian Peterson in college football, yes, he's had a couple knee injuries. I'm not going to say you're going to find the next Adrian Peterson, but 49ers definitely have a very, very good offensive line, and he could really find a home there in San Francisco. And now moving on to our sleepers 2014 when it comes to wide receivers, I'm in Brent.
A lot of people have forgotten about One guy from San Diego, his name's Denard Alexander, tore his ACL before the season even started in training camp. What a disappointing
season. We did not promise you a healthy season.
Yeah, I do not promise.
At all.
He struggled with it his entire career.
If you're looking for a six-week monster, this is your guy.
Yeah, Denard Alexander could be a guy. I don't really know the contract status on him, honestly. He might be a free agent at the end of the year, or San Diego might let him go, but you're telling me that Denard Alexander isn't better than a guy like Eddie Royal? Come on. Then we got another sleeper, Ruben Randle. Kind of showed his colors this year. Hopefully Eli can kind of get on track. If they cut Hakeem Nicks, or if they, well, he doesn't re-sign with them, whatever. Ruben Randle is a guy who's going to line up at the number two position for them, and he could be a pretty solid outside receiver. And then I want to talk about two more wide receivers. They're going to be back in free agency. We got Hakeem Nicks. I mean, we don't really know where he's going to end up, but Hakeem Nicks has pissed off a lot of you guys this season, and he can come back and probably do you guys some good. He's going to be a guy you can get in probably the 12th round. I mean, just based off
everybody hates him.
Yeah. And Kenny Britt's another guy. He, via free agency, could be pretty good for you. Like New England might sign him. He could be a pretty good outside receiver. So that is my sleeper wide receivers going into 2014, and Fogle's got the tight ends for you.
A guy named Ladarius Green, who has actually had a pretty upgraded role there in San Diego. Antonio Gates, he's one of the best tight ends of all time, but he's getting older, and I think it's the Ladarius Green show in the next couple of years. He has shown flashes of greatness this year. He's done really well, and he's a very athletic tight end. He can come in and make plays, and hopefully he gets a starting role there in San Diego. I've been one of his biggest fans ever since he came out.
Yeah, Gates has not been the same guy this year. Slow off routes, and he is not getting the spot quick enough for Phillip Rivers.
Yeah, and just for every year for you guys, Jared Cook, next Rob Gronkowski. Every year people are just blowing up this guy's name, and he just never lives up to his potential. He's got plenty of athleticism, but throughout his career, he's never had a quarterback. And one last name for you, Levine Toilolo. Okay? I hope I pronounced that right. He is the backup to Tony Gonzalez in Atlanta. For what we've assumed, Tony Gonzalez is not going to pull a Brett Favre and return to Atlanta next year. So then we believe it's going to be the Levine Toilolo show, who is a very big body goal line tight end, who could actually serve as a very good fantasy tight end next season.
Unless they decide to go via free agency, maybe go after like a guy like Fred Davis or something, but I think Toilolo would still be the goal line option in that situation. So now we're going to reflect here and move on to our very first mock draft. We're going to start covering the first round, go over our top 12, see what you guys think about it, and Evan Fogle, why don't you get us started off here with your first pick?
All right. Well, Evan and Brent and I have both agreed on a running back going number one next year. That being Jamaal Charles. He's without a doubt the best fantasy running back this year, and we don't see any reason why he couldn't be next year under Andy Reid. Andy Reid knows how to get him out in space, get him those receptions, get him those rushes. He's getting all the goal line carries. He's the perfect fantasy running back. I don't know what else we can say. He's not sharing the bulk. The only reason Niles Davis is getting carries is because it's a blowout. And he's our clear-cut number one. Would you agree?
Yes, I would agree with that. I think the only worry with him is he's getting all the touches, which could be a concern considering Jamaal Charles. Yeah, small guy. But he's pretty elusive. Like, he's not taking the big hits this year. I've never seen him take a big hit this year. Like, I never be like, oh, man, he's hurt. No, like, he's avoiding the big hits, doing a good job with that. So I'm going to move on to my number two pick, which is Adrian Peterson for me. They're going to hopefully get a quarterback this offseason, which should loosen up the running lane for him. But you also got to think of it this way. It also might take away the options from him. And that is, like, take away some of the run options that he would have got. And that is why I'm going with Adrian Peterson, number two. I think that you have to get your running backs early. What do you got?
I have the Sheriff Peyton Manning, actually, number two. I'm just looking at everyone else. I really don't see a clear-cut number two. Peterson, obviously, is great. But, I mean, Peyton Manning, the guy who's just had a career year, I really couldn't pass up on a guy who could throw 7 touchdowns in a game with the second pick overall.
He worries me, though. I will say that.
Why is he worrying?
He worries me because what's going to happen is he has 47 touchdowns this season so far. What But the problem is, last time he threw for his 49 touchdowns, he had 28 the following season. I think that, and there's a possibility he loses Eric Decker this season. I think that Peyton Manning could slip down some boards because of that, and that worries me. He's got age against him now, so.
That is true, but, even with losing Decker, they could still bring in a guy, and, you still have Demaryius Thomas there, you still have Wes Welker, as long as he's avoiding concussions, and the emergence of Julius Thomas, and no Sean Moreno out of the backfield. I still think he's a good option, but we definitely have two different opinions on that.
All right, you want to lead us off number three here?
All right, number three is Adrian Peterson, all day AP. What can you say? A down year for this guy is 1,400 yards. How can you complain with that? And that's with him even sitting out a couple weeks with no quarterback whatsoever. This guy's amazing. He's definitely the clear-cut number two running back. Probably tossing LeSean McCoy there, who's actually had a very good year this year. Which I actually have at my number four spot. Wade, why don't you tell us who you have at number three and number four?
Okay, I have LeSean McCoy at three. I think LeSean McCoy is on the number one rushing offense this season, and I only think it's going to get better. Obviously, Nick Foles isn't the running PI, but, are we kidding? Washington, Dallas, New York. Yep, that's two games apiece. That's six total games against those three rush defenses all day. LeSean McCoy is my third pick. I will say, though, this is the first time that LeSean McCoy has played more than 12 games in the season except his rookie season. So I am actually pretty happy that LeSean McCoy did that. By the way, I'm trying to find some wood to knock on for you guys. You guys got him. Hopefully that doesn't happen. My fourth is Marshawn Lynch. Marshawn Lynch is a guy who gets, obviously, all the carries. There's talks, though, that there's a possibility that Seattle might reel him out of their rotation, might go with Christine Michaels. How would you tell me that you're going to go with Christine Michaels over a guy like Marshawn Lynch? I have no idea. He's beast mode. He plays the best defenses and always puts up the best stats. I don't really know how it's possible. So who do you got it for?
For I actually have McCoy right after Peterson. Like I said, McCoy has actually had a really good bounce-back season. He's very elusive, very good at shaking those defenders. Looking at the running backs, I can see how you can go Marshawn over him. But McCoy, when his new offense with Chip Kelly, he's been really doing well this year. At five, we both agree on Calvin Johnson, right?
Yes.
Megatron.
And I would move him up if it's PPR.
Absolutely. This guy, you're going to take a guy. You're going to take him first because he has that chance of going 300-plus receiving yards. He is very consistent, and, he's your clear-cut number one because, Dez Bryant, who knows when he's going to stop whining on those sidelines. And at number six, I actually have a guy who you had go earlier. I had Marshawn Lynch, beast mode, at number six. With him and Russell Wilson, they've just been tearing it up in Seattle. And Marshawn Lynch is just a very consistent goal line back. He's always going to score when he's in the goal line, let's be honest. I don't see that changing unless he's not there next year. What about you? Who you got six?
Six, I got Jimmy Graham. The reason I got Jimmy Graham, he's so high, and Fogle disagreed with me. At first when we started doing this, he looked at me, he's like, how do you have Jimmy Graham in your first round? And I was just like, Jimmy Graham's going to be the number one tight end. When you take Jimmy Graham, he is your number one wide receiver. You are investing in a guy that you can only put at the tight end slot. There's nobody else to compare to him. Rod Gronkowski coming off ACL injury. Here's one for you, Heath Miller. He was top five tight end last year. I know they're a lot different in talent and whatnot, but, Rob Gronkowski isn't coming back week one to be Rob Gronkowski. I don't think Rob Gronkowski is coming back to at least week 10. And then he's got to rehab through all that. So I think it'll be week 16 before you can even touch a guy. So going through all that, Jimmy Graham is my number one tight end and my number six draft pick in the first round of the season.
I agree with Jimmy Graham being your number one tight end. I actually don't have him going until number nine. But before I go any further, I'm going to go with number seven. I go with Matt Forte.
We agree on it.
We both agree on Matt Forte at seven. He is Trestman has absolutely brought a new offense to Chicago. It's more offense than it is defense this year. And Forte is the guy. He's great out of the backfield, receiving and rushing.
Yeah, PPR definitely moves up.
He's definitely going to be in there on the pass blocking. If you ever watch the Bears game, you'll see how good of a pass blocker he is. Number eight, we got some discrepancies. I have Aaron Rodgers going at eight, my second quarterback off the board. And that's because I feel like a guy like Aaron Rodgers, coming off of a collarbone injury next year, I feel like he's going to really want to push to prove that he's the best quarterback in the NFL. He'll still have his weapons, Jordy Nelson, Randall Cobb coming back. Tight end's a little unsure. We don't know what's going to happen with old Jermichael Finley. Maybe they'll do something in a free agency or the draft. But with running game with Eddie Lacy, Jonathan Franklin, and even James Starks, Rodgers has really done well with that this year. And what about you? Who you got at eight?
I have Doug Martin at eight. This is a guy who was averaging 8 fantasy points a game. Everyone's going to go, wow, he was 8. Who cares? A first-round pick. Problem is, he played top 15 defenses. Right now, if you go up the defensive rank and you say, who, based off who gives up the fewest fantasy points to opposing running backs, right now, 16th is the lowest that he's played. You know, and guess who 16 is? The New England Patriots. So if you look at that right now, 16's the New England Patriots. He played them back when they had Albert Haynesworth, when they were top 5. So technically, Doug Martin's played one of the toughest schedules to start. Right when the schedule started getting soft, Doug Martin got hurt. He's a first-round pick for me.
I agree with that. But at number 9, I actually have your guy, Jimmy Graham, going. He was a second-round pick for me last year, and he's done wonders for me this year. Most consistent tight end in the NFL. Drew Brees loves him. Anywhere on the field, goal line, 50-yard line, 1-yard line. I mean, this guy is everywhere. He's actually been playing through a foot injury this year, too, guys. Like, you got to think about that. He's been off the field at times, and he's still putting up 2 touchdowns for you. I don't know how you can complain out of that tight end. Number 10, I have Foster, Arian Foster. Namaste, Foster. He went out this year with an injury, unfortunately. And, Ben Tate leaving Houston next year. Foster's still going to have that backfield to himself. It's just a matter of, can he stay healthy? Will there be a consistent quarterback there next year? And you got a 9.
At 9, I got Aaron Rodgers. I think Aaron Rodgers, he's my number one quarterback this year. I think he's going to come back with a vengeance, like we said. The reason I moved Drew Brees, I originally had him for number 1 for you followers. And what happened with Drew Brees was, once I got to think about it, Marquise Colston's only getting older and older as the years progress here. And Jimmy Graham, he is the number one tight end, but who do they have outside of Jimmy Graham? Marquise Colston's not a guy. Yeah, not consistent enough for me.
Lance Moore fell off.
So, and of course, I already explained why I was a little bit down on Peyton Manning. He has age working against him, threw for 28 after he threw 49 the following season. So I think that it can be a down year for him, and I believe that Aaron Rodgers is the number one quarterback off the board in my number 9 pick. Eddie Lacy is my number 10th overall pick here because, look, Eddie Lacy is a guy who is a beast running back. Every single game, once he started getting into the offense, that Aaron Rodgers was a quarterback, he averaged 20-plus touches a game. Eddie Lacy is a guy that I can really, really count on this season. Peyton Manning is my number 11. And everyone's going to say, why are you so down on him? I told you why I'm down on him. Peyton Manning's a guy that I can really rely on. And I think that if you could count on Peyton Manning down the stretch of your season now, his bad game is 300 yards, 3 touchdowns. Okay, so that Peyton Manning, that's why he's my number 11. And to round out my first round, I have Arian Foster. Arian Foster's a guy who is going to get all the carries in Houston once the season's over. Now, there are some talks that they might get rid of him because he's not guaranteed any money after the season. The problem is, I think that Arian Foster is definitely going to be in Houston next season, because why would a coach let him go? They might try to limit him, but right now, he rounds out my first round. What do you got for 11 and 12?
11, I have Doug Martin. I still am in love with this guy, no matter how much he killed me this year in 2 leagues. he's the guy. You saw what he did last year in his rookie season, a very impressive rookie season. And, he's got a good offensive line in front of him. It's just a matter of, can they stay healthy? I still think Shano's the issue, but I think Doug Martin comes back next year and does very well for you. It was only a shoulder injury, I see him having a bounce back year at 11 right there. I think that's a good pick. Number 12, I'm kind of biting my own tongue here, but Eddie Lacy in the first round. I'm not a fan of sophomore running backs going in the second round. But you're telling me with Aaron Rodgers as your quarterback, driving you down the field with Eddie Lacy, who, like I said, is Marshawn Lynch 2.0. He's a very aggressive runner. He's very powerful. And he's just been very consistent this year. And I see him being an RB1 next year in all kinds of leagues.
Yeah, I agree with that.
The only thing that's, like, just like pretty much every player in fantasy is, can he stay healthy? And that rounds off our first our first round pick for next season, I'm sure there'll be a lot more changes.
Oh, yeah, I guarantee
there'll be plenty of changes to that.
And we will definitely have this posted in the notes section. I actually rounded out my second round. I won't include that now. But it will definitely be in the notes section of the page if you go there and look at it. So right now we're going to move on and we're going to cover where a few free agents are going to fall out in 2014. So let's start with this guy, Jay Cutler. Where does he end up?
I see him resigning with the Bears. Will they move on with Josh McCown over him? I don't think that so. I mean, Josh McCown's a veteran. He's been there 10-plus years. I think you're going to go with Cutler, who Trestman has built around and who everyone feels is the guy in Chicago. I think he's going to end up in Chicago next year. What about you?
I agree with that. I believe Jay Cutler is going to be the guy in Chicago next year. A lot of people are like, well, it depends on who the quarterback is with Alshon Jeffery and Brandon Marshall. I think it's going to be Jay Cutler. He's got a power arm. And think about it this way. Mark Trestman was able to do that with Josh McCown. So
I personally think it's Trestman and the receivers who are making these quarterbacks.
And if he can tap all that talent out with Josh McCown, just think what he can do with Jay Cutler, who's a really talented quarterback.
Get that defense healthy, and you can only wait and see what the Bears will do next season.
So our next one on the list is MJD. Where do you think he ends up?
I personally see him resigning with the Jaguars. I would not surprise me at all if they do move on from him. If they move on from him, I can see him being a very good third down backup running back due to his age. He could possibly get a starting job somewhere. There'll be a lot of teams next year searching for a starting running back. I mean, teams such as Cleveland, maybe even the Jets could be starting to look for a running back in that crowded backfield with Ivory and Powell. I mean, who knows? Maybe Tennessee moves on from Chris Johnson. I mean, there's just a lot of options that MJD has next year. And, I mean, he's still got some talent behind him. I mean, this guy's one of the best running backs of all time. And what about you? Where do you have him going next year?
I'm going to Jacksonville. I think he still lands up in Jacksonville. I think that he will see limited touches, though, because I think that Jordan Todman's kind of stealing his job right now. Jordan Todman has shown up last week.
A very good Week 15 performance.
Yeah, and in Week 16, I see the same thing happening. So that's what I see going on with MJD. He did say on the Thursday night game versus Houston that he would love to stay in Jacksonville and that the talks will begin after the season is over. Let's move on to the next one, which is Fred Davis. Where do you have him in?
Fred Davis, like you said, he could definitely go to one of those teams that's searching for a tight end. Atlanta. You can even throw in possibly the Patriots. Could be it without Gronkowski next year. I don't think they see him in Minnesota as a starter. Which Fred Davis could go there and, match him up with Tom Brady. That's a great matchup. Those are the two teams I can see him going. What about you?
I agree with that. I think that actually, now that you mention it, I think New England's a better fit than Atlanta.
Absolutely.
Just because of the way he can create matchups on the outside. Just kind of like Aaron Hernandez could a little bit. But I think that definitely, even with Gronk, that he has value. But I think for right now, without Gronk, he definitely has value if he was to end up in New England.
You think he returns to Washington?
No.
I do not think.
I don't think they're taking a shot at that.
I think they're going to move on with Jordan Reed.
Yeah, I think so, too. The next one on the list is Eric Decker.
Eric Decker, with Denver, he could very much return, but it kind of just depends on if he decides to take the money and go elsewhere. I possibly see him going to the Patriots. I mean, helping out Tom Brady in that dreaded receiving game. Another team that actually just popped up in my mind, possibly the Washington Redskins.
Possibly.
Help out Pierre Garçon. There's a lot of teams that will be looking for that number two receiver. I mean, maybe even the Detroit Lions. Mm-hmm. Houston Texans,
yeah.
Toss them in there. There's a lot of teams out there that are looking for a receiver, and I see Eric Decker. I do see him moving on from Denver. As much as it hurts me, I like him in Denver, but I do see him moving out from Denver.
Yeah, Denver just simply doesn't have the money to resign him. Eric Decker's going to be gone this next season. There's no doubt about that. And there's definitely all the weapons, all the places you said. The place that I think that's most intriguing is I think that New England will make a very heavy push for him just because, they think that Danny Amendola is the option, but they have to get him in the slot. Right now they don't have a healthy second wide receiver, so in order to get him to the slot, they're going to have to put somebody in the outside.
Decker stays pretty healthy, too.
And Decker's going to be the guy. So the last guy we need to talk about is Ben Tate. I already know what you're going to say. He's going to Cleveland, and I completely agree with that. there was a report that Cleveland would make a heavy, heavy push at Vente this offseason once he's released from the Texans, and I definitely think that that is the right fit.
Absolutely, I completely agree.
So, guys, that rounds out our first fantasy football podcast.
Thanks for listening.
Yeah, so thanks for listening. Let us know how it feels.